This is Wilp's Wake Up Call. We're here every Friday morning from 7:30 to 8 o'clock. And WILF stands for the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. This morning, and every Friday morning, we have some very interesting guests. And this morning, we have some of our sisters and a brother to talk about WILF itself, because this is the year that we are celebrating our 75th birthday in the Triangle, Chapel Hill, Durham, Carrboro. And a lot of you may not have heard of WILF or know very much about us, so part of our celebration year, we are going to be trying to get out more information and have different activities. And to start off this morning, we have Ann Powers. Good morning, Ann.
Good morning, Laurie.
And Lucy Lewis.
Hi.
Hi. Myself, Laurie Hoyt, and Dick Paddock, our faithful and intrepid engineer.
Good morning.
And we're going to talk about WILF, about the organization, what it is and why it means a lot to those of us here, and also some of the things that we've been working on, because we are a relatively small organization, but we are involved in just about every progressive issue that's going on around the country. So I'll start off with Ann. Ann, just to say, I think you're kind of new to our program. Lucy's been on before. And so that's why I wanted to bring your voice in. And just tell us a little bit about why you joined WILF, or what WILF means to you.
Okay, WILF means a lot to me. We retired here to Chapel Hill 11 years ago, and one of the first people I met was a WILFer. Vivian Ponzi, who told me about WILF and brought me to a meeting, and I was hooked. It's made an enormous difference in the quality of my life here in Chapel Hill and in retirement. I think two guiding principles are our religion, and it sort of, our spirituality teaches us how we should be in this world. But WILF helps me to figure out what to do as a person who needs to make a contribution to my local community and to the world. So WILF is my WILF sisters are my life now here in Chapel Hill.
And Lucy Lewis, you have a long time history with WILF.
I do. I was fortunate to first encounter WILF members here in Chapel Hill during the Vietnam War era.
Wow.
Some of our listeners may not know that the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom here in Chapel Hill sponsored the longest-running vigil against the Vietnam War, standing out on the Franklin Street in front of the post office every Wednesday noon from 1968 through 1973. Each week they had a petition that was sent to the president, basically deploring the war and calling on peace. And both my mom, Jean Wagner, and I met WILF members on the vigil line and were just inspired by their dedication. And she and I both joined then in the late 60s. She was a particularly active member up until her death 4 years ago. And her work and the work of the other women, seeing the fact that they were really engaged in not only war issues, but that they understood that the roots of violence were the social and racial and economic injustices that we see, made so much sense that we're not just talking about single issues, but we understand their relationships. That and the fact that WILF is not only a local, but a national and an international organization is one of the reasons why it's so important to me.
And I think that last thing about being not only local and national, but international, I think is one of the things that makes WILF unique to many other organizations. And that is part of what inspired me. I've always had a love of history. And before I joined WILF, I remember hearing about the women on the vigil line every Wednesday, but I was working out of town, and and couldn't join, but I promised myself when I have time, when I retire, one of the first things I'm going to do is join those wonderful women. And I did. And like Anne said, it's been one of the joys and made my life so meaningful. Because it's not just joining an organization, it's being part of a sisterhood and brotherhood and a community of people, because we're in solidarity with many other progressive groups. And it's being part of a community that enriches your life so much. And Dick Paddock, you want to tell us about your becoming a Wilfer?
Yes, I'd be happy to. My origins go back to, I don't remember exactly when, but I ran into Yanni Chapman and told him that I was looking for a place that for a group that handled the different concerns that I had, racism and peace, and what turns out to be important right now is healthcare insurance reform. And he said, Wilf is your place. And he was right. And so I'm very happy to have found Wilf. And I really have become much more active, just as Lori suggested. Now that I'm retired, I can be more active. But it has been the foundation when I've joined the NAACP and working with other interest groups and in the area. And of course, right now we're doing the healthcare thing, and we're still doing peace. And so it's important to me, and it's wonderful to have my sisters and brothers available to spur me on and keep me connected.
Anne, you want to say something?
Both you and Lucy mentioned the vigils. And the vigils are a line of continuity in this town that was most impressive to me, because when I first joined Wilf, we were having a vigil every 2 weeks in outside the post office on Franklin Street, now Peace and Justice Plaza.
Yeah.
Named after several of our members, Yanni Chapman and Lucy Straley and Joe Straley. But I can remember very often and standing there week after week, right up until 2 days ago. We were here Wednesday for not protesting World War II, as Lucy and her mother were, but the Afghan War. And there used to be a on the light in the middle of the street there at Peace and Justice Plaza, there used to be a sign that said, "Walk with the Light." And I can remember standing there week after week holding posters and often thinking about the lines of women who stood there during Vietnam, World War II. And you can go back to Jane Addams' World War I, when the women took a peace boat to Europe to try to get the leaders of the world to cease and desist from that war. And thinking, I'm part of this stream. And all trying to walk with the light through Wilf.
Yeah, and you're bringing up Jane Addams, and maybe that's something, Lucy, you could tell us a little more about, because Jane Addams is one of our founders. Maybe tell us a little bit more about that history.
Sure. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, or WILF as we call ourselves, was actually founded in 1915. And a lot of women who'd been engaged in the suffragette movement and had come to understand their strength as women through that struggle were very concerned about the fact that World War I was raging in Europe at the time, and it looked like the United States was about to get involved. And women from both warring and neutral nations met together in The Hague to talk about what could be done to prevent the war widening, and also to understand, to think about what could happen not only to end this world war, but to prevent future wars like it. And they weren't able to prevent U.S. involvement in World War I. As Anne just mentioned, they did have a peace boat and, in fact, met with leaders of countries throughout the world, including Woodrow Wilson, urging them to stop the war and to call an end to it, to call for peace. But when the war finally did end, they came together, actually during the war, they came together to say, we need to develop an organization of women and our brothers to look at the root causes of war, the issues of racism and colonialism,
poverty,
the issues of economic injustice and poverty and social injustice. These are the things that really give rise to violence. And so eventually Jane Addams received the Nobel Peace Prize for her work in founding WILPF. And today you can find WILPF sections in 37 countries around the world. There are branches and groups in dozens of communities in the United States. We have an international office in Geneva, and we also have a UN office in New York City, where we have NGO status at the United Nations. And women from WILPF, both here in this country and around the world, have continued to advocate for issues affecting particularly women and girls around the world. But obviously, these are issues that affect all of humanity, the issues of peace, justice, and freedom. So in here in Chapel Hill, Carrboro, WILPF was started in 1935, as you mentioned earlier, Lori, with Charlotte Adams, who is a Quaker, a pacifist. And she joined with other women in the community to found WILPF here. One of the issues that they worked on in the 50s and 60s, of course, was the growing struggle against Jim Crow laws, against segregation, and against white supremacy. And again, that's continued to be a focus of WILPF, both nationally, internationally, and here locally. We've, as Dick mentioned, we've got a sister relationship with the NAACP, and most of our members are members of the Chapel Hill Carrboro NAACP and other branches in Chatham and Burlington and other places. And we have a number of them who we're proud to count as our sisters. We've been very concerned about their recent struggle in the Chapel Hill Carrboro schools that we see similar to that going on in Wake County, which is basically moving towards a resegregation of our schools. I think a lot of our listeners may know that in Wake County, they've moved recently away from busing students so that they have a more proportionate relationship of low-income and high-income students, which also means that they've got a more racially diverse community. But here in Chapel Hill, we've been struggling around the fact that more funding is going to support honors classes at the same time that we've got an achievement gap, which really has not significantly changed over the last 20 or 30 years since the schools were integrated here in Chapel Hill Carrboro.
And on that note,
that we have a really small number of minorities in honors classes.
Because they're cutting classes, giving the money for the honors things, they're cutting in their recent budget proposal, cutting teachers' assistants in the third grade. And that's where the foundations are being laid for kids to really be able to be in honors classes when they get older. So put your money where your mouth is, and if you want to close the achievement gap, how are the resources being allocated? That's excellent point, Lucy.
Exactly. We've heard from some of our school board members that we should be for both. We should be for excellence and high achievement, and we should also make sure that we close the achievement gap. But in reality, the school system here has shown very well that it can support excellence. But like you just said, there's only a limited amount of resources available, and if we're not putting it to make sure that all of our students, even those who are low performing at this point, don't have the support they need, like teachers' assistants in the third grade or adequate ESL classes, then that needs to be our first priority. So that's just one of the issues that WILPF has been involved in over the years.
You've just got a lot in there, Lucy, for I hope our listeners to chew on, because this is such an issue of justice or injustice, whichever viewpoint you want to come to. But and this is a recent issue, and this is something that people need to inform themselves about. The other thing with the NAACP, we just recently had the Reverend Barber's HK on J March, a historic thousands on Jones Street, and we've been very involved in that for the, how many years has that been going on? This is the fourth year, and he has 14 points that cover all the progressive issues in this state, or at least most of them, and in trying to move this whole state forward into a more progressive area. One of the other issues that we've worked really hard on, Dick and I especially, has been the labor issues in focused on the Moncure workers. They had a strike for how many months, Dick, was that strike?
8 months.
8 months. And when we found out about it at Reverend Barber from the NAACP having a retreat to get us all working together for a progressive agenda for the state, when Mel Montford, the business agent for the union, got up and told us about their struggle, it just hit our hearts. And because they were struggling with new owners of their small plywood factory in Moncure, which is 30 miles southwest of here. And they were upping their health care costs, was it 400%?
Yeah, the deduction from the what the employees would have to pay was being increased by 300%.
And they were going to have a mandatory 60-hour work week that could be just at the owner's whim to come in whenever they wanted them, which is like modern-day slavery. And this was a predominantly African-American union. It had some Hispanic workers, some white workers. And so we took that on as something to build up community support for the strikers, who were pretty isolated. And a group of us would go out every week with some sandwiches, try to find out what's going on, tried to let a lot of people know what's going on, got a lot of community involvement in Chatham County and our county from the Ministerial Alliance. We got the county commissioners in Chatham involved. It was just wonderful to build this whole solidarity committee standing by the workers. And the strike was finally resolved, but unfortunately we are finding out that the company is not going by the agreement very well, and there's still a lot of injustice, and we're going to get ourselves together again.
Right, yeah, we're still following it and trying to figure out what we can do to help. Because they are having a difficult time, they're not being brought back in to their jobs as they were supposed to be, mm-hmm. according to the contract, and mm-hmm. It's a real hardship on the remaining union members. So we're still following it, still working with them.
Because these workers became not just abstract workers, they became our friends, and we're very committed to trying to continue our work for justice with them. But that, of course, is not the only issue. This is a focus and highlights the broader issues of how workers are being squeezed in this country. And Lucy just reminded me to certainly get in about 95, 98. Lucy, tell us about that.
Just real quickly, that the issues of economic justice are broad, and one of the underlying problems today, of course, is that unionization is on the decline. And here in North Carolina, we're only one of only two states that doesn't allow its public sector workers to have collective bargaining. And this is recognized internationally as a human right, that workers have a right to a voice. Mm-hmm. So WILPF has been very active working with other organizations to continue to press the North Carolina General Assembly to repeal that Jim Crow law, which was enacted in 1958, and to allow public sector workers to collectively bargain just like other workers do.
Lori, I need to break in. Station break time.
Yeah, I was just thinking of that, and the sun was in my eyes. Boy, that sun is coming up strong. Okay, we're taking a station break. This is WILP's Wake Up Call, WILP being the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. We are underwritten by the Internationalist Bookstore, and we're very proud of that. They are at 405 West Franklin Street, and you can get more information by going to internationalistbooks.org. And also, if you're having trouble, because this is a low power station where you know friends who want to listen to us or other programs on WCOM FM, you can stream us live at WCOMFM.org. And if it's hard for you to get up this early and catch us, you can also tell friends that they can find out a lot more about us at TriangleWilp.org. And don't forget the P in Wilp for Peace, TriangleWilp.org. And you can link there to all of our previous radio shows, because the issues we talk about are pretty much ongoing issues of justice, and I think you'll find them very pertinent whenever you get a chance to tune in and find out about us.
Lucy, I think you're probably the one to ask about this, but Wilf had a big hand in the start of the Dispute Settlement Center, if I remember correctly.
That's right. Our members Charlotte Adams and Tan Schwab had been monitoring courts in the early 70s. They were concerned about both how demonstrators who'd been involved in the civil rights movement were being treated, and then they developed larger concerns as they looked at the court system to see how many people were coming into the courts for issues that really could have been solved outside of that system. So they were the basic founders for the Orange County Dispute Settlement Center, which then has grown to be a movement across the state. So we've been involved in issues of conflict resolution and developing creative and innovative new ways to deal with that.
Yeah, thank you, Lucy. And Anne, I want to get back because, you know, peace is an issue that's underlying a lot of other things. If we're going to have this war machine that's going to suck up all of our resources, it's very hard to have sufficient money for health care, for education, for the things that matter to us, we the people. And I wonder if you want to talk a little bit about, you know, there's been the war in Iraq, which is getting to be the forgotten war, and we're so aware of Afghanistan, but Iraq is still a mess. And I know our recent vigil is focused on Afghanistan. I don't know if you want to tell us a little bit about the vigil and the issues.
Well, the vigil was to remember the invasion of Iraq. It was 5 years ago.
That's right.
And we had a petition, as is usual, which was asking Congress and the President to reconsider their decision to go full blast into Afghanistan. This vigil, there must have been 25 or 30 people there. We had lots of signs lined up on the little wall by the post office.
Beautiful signs made by you, Ian.
Well, you know, you don't have to be a heavy-duty intellectual to be part of WILF, because I make signs, and I stand at vigils, and I go to marches, and I helped make some sandwiches and fruit for the workers. So there's a place for everybody in WILF. But
that's
anyway,
a good point, Ian.
Yeah, there really is. And you know what there's a place for is our supporters. Mm-hmm. I'm also the treasurer of Triangle WILF. Mm-hmm. And there's a time in our lives, there's a season for everything.
Yeah.
And for us right now, it's a season for being out there and marching and trying to get us out of war and to turn our minds to peace in the world. But there's a time when you can't do that. You're raising small children, you have heavy-duty job, but you can support with your finances and your spirit. We feel both the finances that come in from our supporters, and we feel their spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And we're almost 200 strong in the Triangle, and I get, you know, the dues and support and donations from those people, and think about them all the time, standing on the line, walking with the light, because they're making it possible for Laurie to do this program and for Dick to put out a newsletter and for people to go down to Moncur, because we're free now.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't do it without the people who support the same values and the same ideals in the world that we do.
That's a wonderful point, and that there is a season for all of us, and also there's times when we are so busy or getting older and it's hard to stand on the picket line, or the protest line or to march, but we can still make phone calls. You know, we can still write letters.
Right.
And so there's for each of us, we have our gift, I feel. The season and the gift, you know, what we can do and where our energy lies, but we hope to keep getting the word out and inspiring that spirit to walk with in the light, or with the light, as you said. I love that idea. So yes, all of you out there, you know, take heart from what we're saying. Yeah. Don't just sit there. This weekend, there's a real need and push for people to get involved with the healthcare. It's coming to a crisis point, and this is getting very tight. So this is a time to. I think there's going to be a protest. I think this morning outside Bob Bethridge's office again in Raleigh. Dick, you want to tell about when we went with some other people last week?
Yeah, it was very interesting. We went to Etheridge's office to support him and his presumed voting in favor of the health care reform, actually insurance reform bill. And as nearly as I can reconstruct events, there was a Tea Party group that was that had called a demonstration across from his office in opposition to the health care reform. And it would have been on Thursday of last week.
Yeah, it was
a week
Thursday.
Ago Thursday. Mm-hmm. On Wednesday I heard about it that people in favor of health care insurance reform were going to have a counter demonstration. And so during the course of one day, as far as I could tell, we organized approximately three times as many people to come and demonstrate outside of Etheridge's office in support of healthcare reform. And it was really quite a hearty demonstration.
It was good.
Right.
A lot of people know when you go to these things, it's not just that you're doing something good, but it also lifts your spirit, and it can be a lot of fun to get out there and to be chanting and showing that you support in this point it was healthcare. Lucy, do you want to tell us another thing that we've worked hard on? Has been civil liberties. And one of our members has particularly taken on that cause, and about letting people know about that even North Carolina is involved in torture.
Sure, I'll make this real quick because I know we're running out of time, but one of the many issues that WILF has been involved in has been, like you said, civil liberties, particularly after the attacks of 9/11. The country responded rather than treating what happened as a case for criminal response by major cutbacks in basic civil liberties. And WILF members founded the Orange County Bill of Rights Defense Committee, speaking out against the USA Patriot Act and bringing to mind what Benjamin Franklin says, that we can't give up our civil liberties just in order to be more secure, that the basic rights should be there no matter whether we're at war or not. And out of the Bill of Rights Defense Committee has grown a larger collaboration of groups around the state that are coming together this weekend, or I guess in a few weekends, to look at the issues of torture. It's going to be April 8th to 10th at Duke University, talking about weaving a net of accountability, looking at the issues of extraordinary rendition. North Carolina has been really involved in the flights which take presumed or alleged terrorists kidnap them, take them places around the world where they can be tortured at will. So we encourage our readers and listeners to go to the WILF website to find more about the public conference talking about the unresolved legacy of Guantanamo, April 8th through 10th at Duke University. It's going to be a major conference looking at the issues of civil liberties and justice.
And yeah, for those of you watching your pennies like I am, it's a free public conference, so it's a wonderful opportunity to really hear some wonderful people talking about that.
We're going to have to wind up right about now.
Okay, you've been listening to WILF's Wake Up Call, WILF being the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, and today we've been talking about our wonderful organization, and hope that you will listen and think about this and join us. Listen to us next Friday, 7:30 to 8 o'clock. We'll be back.
And go to trianglewilf.org.
Yes.